ask for your continued prayers. Our text this morning will be found in Ephesians 5, verse 16. Ephesians 5, verse 16. I'm going to read verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I suspect over the last several years we've used this text more than once. I also am satisfied that what's on our heart this morning is from a different perspective or some different ideas than what we've covered in the past. It may be some similar as far as understanding what a text says, and any time we might speak on it, we might say some of the same things, but the Word of God is so deep, and the Word of God is so wonderful that I appreciated the years ago I heard Elder Sonny Pyle use an analogy of the truth as being like a diamond. You hold it up to the light, and you see all the beauty and the colors that sparkle in it, but you turn that diamond just a little bit, and it takes on an altogether different beauty. And yet it's the same diamond. And the truth is that way, isn't it? That we can look at God's word at some point in our life, and life's experiences color what we understand at that time. Not that the truth changes, but our perception and what's important to us at that particular time could be altogether different than something that we thought about years prior to that. See then that you walk circumspectly. That's a big word. Do we use that in conversation? Do we understand what it means? If we're going to read our Bibles with understanding, we need to know what it means, don't we? Circumspectly. Well, you can just kind of get an idea of circum being something round or well-rounded. But let me give you what Oxford Dictionary says about circumspect. Attentive to all circumstances that may affect actions or decisions. Attentive to all circumstances that may affect actions or decisions. Wow. You mean circumstances have an impact upon our actions and decisions? Duh. It certainly does, doesn't it? All right, so when we're mindful then of our circumstances, when we're mindful of how something that's happening in our life is affecting the way we're making decisions and the kind of actions that we're taking, then when we examine that in the light of God's Word, then it ought to help us to line up with what God's Word says about it and react and act according to what would be pleasing to the Lord. To be circumspect in our thinking then, he says, see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools. Well, just the English itself would give you the idea here that circumspectly then is encouraging us and exhorting us to walk according to the wisdom of God's word and not according to the foolishness of this world or the flesh. All right? So walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wise. Does anyone here lack wisdom? I do. But we have a source, don't we? We have the ultimate source for wisdom. And God has promised that if we ask Him, bless your hearts, He'll give it to us liberally and upbraid not. Remember what James said there, James chapter 1? All right, but then he goes on to say, but let him ask in faith. All right, so we come to God asking for the help that we need and asking for the wisdom that we need so that we can make those decisions and so that our actions can be such that based upon our circumstances, we can act and react and think according to the Word of God so that we can be wise and not foolish. Okay, nobody wants to be foolish, do they? All right, but God's Word is a thorough furnisher to help us to understand how we should react and act and make decisions based upon the circumstances of our life. The next verse says, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. This word redeeming is kind of a monetary term. It involves buying, selling. Let me ask you a question. You may think it's foolish, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How many hours in the day do you have? Does anybody have any more than that? Anybody have any less than that? I realize that we have obligations that block out a lot of our time, but my point is this. We make choices every day on how we spend our time. Okay? A lot of time the job takes up a big chunk of that every day. Other responsibilities take a chunk of that. Somewhere along the way, we've got some discretion about how we make use of our time. What do we sell it for? What do we get for it? You see the expression, the idea that's being given to us by this? The word redeeming there, to buy back or regain or recover something that was formerly possessed. We start every day with 24 hours. How are we going to make use of that time? How are we going to spend that time? What are we going to get for it? Who's going to benefit by it? Aren't those good questions? You know, life happens. You don't have to make a decision. It'll just happen for you, won't it? Okay? Because the clock doesn't stop. We learned that a long time ago, didn't we? Okay? Sometimes you wish you could say, time out, you know. Stop the clock. Well, you can do that in sports, but life doesn't happen that way, does it? And so we find that we're constantly exchanging our time, spending our time for something. What are we going to get for it? What do we get in exchange? Who's going to benefit from the way we spend our time? Those are good questions that we ought to ask ourselves every day. Now, seeing the moral decay in our nation. Noticed lately? Seeing the moral decay in our nation, have we lost anything? In my lifetime, I've seen lots of changes. I'm sure you have too. Some of you have seen more changes than I have. Back when we were moving from 1999 to 2000. It was interesting to me. I visited around with some of the older members of the churches where we frequented, and I would ask them the question, since we're approaching the year 2000, and some of them had been around in the early 1900s, I enjoyed asking the question, what changes have you seen in your lifetime? You know, I talked to people that, boy, I don't mean just knowing about horse and buggies. I mean making use of it. Some of those folks would tell me about making use of those kinds of means of transportation. Why, an airplane was unheard of. Some of the technology that we enjoy, especially these handheld devices that are so prevalent today, why, they didn't exist, did they? Just think of things that's changed. We've got so many labor-saving and time-saving devices, we don't have any time left, do we? All right? So when we think about this exchange, when we think about spending our time, when we think about how we use it, how are we going to benefit? And the question that I last asked is, you know, seeing the moral decay of this nation, have we lost anything? Morally speaking, we've lost a tremendous amount, haven't we? What did we get for it? What have we gotten for that exchange? A lot of people have gotten a lot of materialistic things. A lot of things have changed in our nation. What have we gotten from it? Where has it gotten us? Because of the way time has been spent. Is there any need to reclaim what we've lost? Well, we don't have many years left. Is that the way we're thinking? How about the generation that's coming behind us? How about our children, our grandchildren? What kind of world, what kind of a nation do they have to live in? Are they going to have the privileges that we had as we were growing up and as we were making the choices about how we're going to spend our time? Are they going to have the same opportunities and the same privileges of using their time? Are they going to have a good example in you to look at, to see how to spend your time wisely so that we can worship God when we should, we can live godly the rest of the time, and we can have this privilege of coming together and not fearing to be molested by anyone in this world as we assemble ourselves in a public way to worship God? There's a lot of things to think about when you talk about redeeming the time. There is definitely a need for us to buy back some of what we've lost. There's a great need for us to reclaim what we're losing in our culture today. So the next question, whose responsibility is it? The government. You hear that a lot today, don't you? You know, if there's one thing I saw, and I'm prayerful for the folks that's having to suffer the consequences of that hurricane that hit the East Coast recently. And we ought to be continuing in prayer that God would bless those who are in that recovery effort and bless those who are having to suffer through it. But one of the things that was so crystal clear to me, government can't pay for everything. Isn't that the fallacy with socialism? So, I'm getting on a soapbox here for just a moment, but, you know, it's relevant to what we're talking about here. You know, this idea that so many have that they're entitled to this, entitled to that, and the government can supply everything. No, it cannot. If we've seen anything in this matter, and others as well, we've seen that there's a lot of people, millions of people in this nation today that are absolutely bankrupt and ignorant when it comes to personal responsibility. Whose responsibility is it for us to reclaim what we've lost in our culture? Can we do it? By the grace of God, we can. By the help of God, we can't do it by ourselves. Do you think God would be pleased to help us? Oh, absolutely. You know why? It's for His glory. It's for His glory, not our own. And it's a worthy endeavor. And God would honor our prayers to ask Him for the wisdom to help us to know how we can reclaim some of what we've lost in our culture. God would be pleased with that. When you start praying prayers that are pleasing unto God, you can be amazed at how quickly He'll answer. And so you better be ready to start doing something about it. When He begins to show you what you can do, when He begins to show you what needs to change, when He begins to show you what would please Him more, when we start asking Him, Lord, how can I redeem the time? Because the days are certainly evil. And the more we would ask Him, the more He'll show us. And when we begin to start doing the things that He shows us that we can do to redeem the time, the brighter our light is going to shine. The more good influence is going to be seen by us, by others. We pray that often, don't we? All right? We need to be asking Him specifically, Lord, what can I do to redeem the time? Next question. How have you spent your time this week? I hope you're just thinking. I know it's awfully quiet in here. How have you spent your time this week? How much time have you redeemed? What have you gotten for the time and the way you've spent your time this week? Are we interested in it being that which will promote the kingdom of God? All right, now I realize that we all have a full schedule. It's not hard to have a full plate today. But the way that you go about your day, the way you go about your responsibilities, the way you go about your obligations can speak volumes as far as how godly it is and how it's perceived by others. Do you realize that other people are watching how you spend your time? And by the way, when it comes to time for somebody to write something on your tombstone, what verb do you suppose they would use to describe you? How would somebody in just a real, if somebody had to sum it up in just a couple of words, what verb would they use to describe your life? You ever thought about that? That's kind of depressing when you start thinking about, well, if somebody's going to sum up my life in just a few words... We need a few disclaimers to even just get started, don't we? Think about it. How would somebody sum up your life if indeed they were trying to say a few words about how? You know, that's one of the things when I'm asked to do funerals. Lord, I have to go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, how can I... especially when you've had a faithful saint of God that spent many years in service to God, how can you say a few words to try to cover such a wonderful life that's lived? Well, I hope that whoever preaches your funeral will have that same problem. I hope that the lives that we've lived and the years that we've spent and the time that we've spent here on this earth has been something that has positively impacted the kingdom of God wherever we've been. Do you think God would enable us to do that if that was the desire of our heart? I believe He would. I hope He's already doing that, but I'm just saying, drawing your attention to this concept here of redeeming the time, are we thinking about that, and are we thinking about how we spend our time each day? It's a worthy endeavor for us to think about that and do what we can to buy back some of this time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. I hope that we're trying to shield ourselves and our families from as much evil as we can. I hope that we're trying to do what we can to have a godly environment in our home and a godly environment as we walk through each day. But as we think about how we spend that time and what we're doing, if we think about how that we need to buy back something that we've lost, how that this culture, we've lost so much in our culture, how is it that we're going to try to buy back some of that good influence? How is it that we're going to try to make some progress in redeeming the time and bringing these things back or recovering some of the things that we've lost? I ask you the question, how have you spent this week? Okay, maybe you don't want to think about that, but how about next week and the rest of the future? How do we intend to spend our time? Will it be that which will honor God? Will it be that which will help us to redeem or recover some of what we've lost in this culture? I think that's a worthy goal for each one of us to set. To give ourselves some goals of how we can incorporate, and it can be small things. But small things can result in big things, can't it? Small changes can result in big changes. What can we incorporate in our lives to add a little more godliness, to provide ourselves with a little more peace, so that we can be a better person to be around as we make our interaction with the people of the world or the people we work with? How can we make those changes so that we can redeem some of this time, so that there can be more in this world that brings glory to the name of God? Redeeming the time. After all, why should we do that? Well, it's for the glory of God, isn't it? See, when you start talking about redeeming the time, when you talk about redeeming, think about for just a moment. Don't we love the topic in the scriptures of redemption? Redemption. Let's talk about that for just a minute. With the idea of why Should we redeem our time? You know, I was thinking about recently, every now and then we hear people complaining. Why does God allow this to happen? Why does God allow that to happen? And the idea is, because my circumstances are not good, it seems like that they think that God's not good. Isn't that the height of arrogance? Just because something's not happening good in my life, God's not good? Whew. Boy, that bothers me. God is good. Bless your hearts, when we think about the redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read you a couple of verses out of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to begin in verse 11. Now, listen for the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. Because what we're talking about is a practical aspect of redeeming the time. But perhaps we need to be reminded from time to time of why we should be diligent in redeeming the time that we have. And I think you'll find it in the fact that what we have through our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us ought to give us the motivation to say thank you every day by the way we live our lives and spend our time. That's the best way we have to thank God in this world, is to show forth our thanksgiving with what we do and what we say. So think about this in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, there is no disclaimer with that. He did not say he obtained eternal redemption as long as you'll stay in the straight and narrow. He didn't say as long as you'll accept it. He didn't say as long as you can figure it out. He didn't say if the preacher uses a good enough words to get the point across. Jesus accomplished that for us. When he came into this world, he offered himself once. And he didn't offer himself to you, did he? He offered himself to the Father because he had a work to do when he came, and that was to save his people from their sins. His people were given to him in Christ before the foundation of the world. Jesus came into this world with a certain people upon his mind and heart to save when he went to that cross, and he saved them by his precious blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Aren't you glad that Christ did that for us? Does he deserve some thanksgiving? Does he deserve some praise? Does he deserve that we should spend our time? I know it's a precious commodity, but isn't it precious enough that we should thank him for what he's done for us by spending some of our time in praise and adoration to him? And his word says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. When we redeem the time by walking according to the word of God, we are showing our love to him. We are, in effect, saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. I'm going to tell you, brethren, that's worth redeeming our time. That's worth spending our time in his praise. That's worth making the choice to do something that's pleasing to God instead of satisfying this old flesh. You know, when we think about redeeming, when we think about reclaiming what we've lost in this culture, when we think about how this culture has gone so far away and whose responsibility is it? By the way, I asked the question, but I don't remember any answers. Whose responsibility is it for us to reclaim some of what we've lost? Is it our children's responsibility when they come along? It may be so far gone when they get to the point of doing anything about it that there won't be anything to reclaim. It's our responsibility. It's each responsibility, it's each generation that lives, it's their responsibility to walk honorably before God so that we can have this to pass on to our children and our grandchildren. God is gracious. He is merciful. But we have responsibilities of our own, don't we? To walk in a way that's pleasing unto Him, that we can continue to enjoy these blessings. If we don't have that mindset, we're going to be found doing things that's pleasing to Satan. Anybody here want to please Satan? Why would you do that? All he wants to do is to tear up and to destroy and to kill. Why would you want to do any bidding that he has? And yet, how many victories has Satan been given in this world? Maybe it's not Satan directly. Maybe it's just fleshly passions. How much of our time have we wasted following fleshly passions? Oh, man. How much time has we wasted? Time that we could have been honoring God and doing something that's positive in His kingdom. How much time have we wasted giving too much time to the pleasures of this world? Mighty quiet. How much time have we wasted just being lazy? Oh, there's plenty of things we could do. Somehow, when we've given our 8 hours to Caesar's kingdom, or 10 or 12 or whatever it is, many times, when we've given so many hours to Caesar's kingdom, we just don't seem to have any energy or enthusiasm left for God's kingdom. I don't see where we need to separate the two. We can enjoy God's kingdom while we're walking and while we're working in this world. We can have a prayer upon our heart. We can have a song upon our lips, whether you're singing it out loud or whether just to yourself. You can be singing those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto the Lord in your heart. It's good for you. And I'll tell you something else. Serving the Lord is energizing, isn't it? Energizing. You know, Paul told Timothy that a bodily exercise profiteth little. And what he meant by that is a little while. You know, if you quit doing it, you lose the benefit of it sometime. All right? But godliness is profitable in all things, given the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. In other words, it won't give you eternal life, but it'll sure bless you with the assurance of it and the remembrance of it and the hope of it and the surety of it while we're walking here in this life. If we're involved in the kingdom of God and doing that which is pleasing unto the Lord, there's an energy there. When we're walking in ways that's pleasing to the Lord, there'll be a blessing to you beyond anything else you can receive. We need to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. I am very encouraged by so many comments that I've heard from so many people because so many have been made to realize that if God doesn't help us, we're sunk. We're sunk as a nation. God's the only one that can help us. I don't care about political parties. I don't care about platforms. If we care about looking to God and pleasing God, that's the only help we have anyway. And if the people of this nation don't vote according to godliness and godly principles, we're sunk. There's no hope for this as a nation. And I know that just like Lot and his family were delivered out of Sodom, God can keep us when we're doing what what's pleasing unto Him. He can provide for us and help us individually. But how much better would it be if we as a nation could boldly stand and proclaim one nation under God? We are under Him. Right now we're under His judgment. Wouldn't it be so much better if we were under His good graces and blessings? And God is blessing us. He's still blessing this nation. He has blessed this nation, and His mercy endureth forever. Oh, but how we need to be concerned about redeeming the time, buying back some of what we've lost, finding ways. God can tell us the ways. What you need to do might be different from me. And quite often it is. But in prayer, God can show us. You know, what is it? Psalm 19, it ends up by saying, "Search me and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's one of those honorable prayers. God will show you in an instant. When I pray that, it doesn't take him long at all to show some things in me that needs to improve. Because there's plenty of improvement that could be done. I suspect you have some of the same needs. Redeeming the time. Satan and the flesh and the hindrances in this world are all after us to try to steal our time, get our attention, get our affections, and draw us away from God. If we do nothing, we'll just float down the stream of public opinion and whatever's the prevailing sentiment around us, and we'll be taken farther and farther away from God. That's why we have to press into the kingdom. That's why it takes energy to serve God. That's why it takes intention to serve God. That's why it takes presence of mind to serve God. Know how we need that so much, so that we could buy back some of what we've lost in this world. Those things, when we think about Satan's influences and the world's influences and the flesh, the influences of the flesh, that draws us away to things that are ungodly, unprofitable, and unfruitful in this world, all of those things are contrary to the way God would have us to be. He would have us to be fruitful, wouldn't he? He would have us to be productive. He would have us to be having a good influence. That's what letting your light shine and being salt in this world, that's what it's all about. Being a good influence and letting our light shine to his glory. But it's a blessing and a benefit to those around us. All right? So being fruitful, bearing the fruit of the Spirit instead of the works of the flesh, and being profitable, being beneficial. You know, when we grow up in this world, we need to realize that there comes a time when we need to be productive, when we need to be actively engaged in something that's useful and productive, and we need to be doing it in a way that will be godly. And so if we've treasured up the Word, if we understand what the Bible says about how we should be living our lives, then we can approach that productivity. We can approach that fruitfulness with the knowledge of the will of God and try to do what we can to walk in it. Notice, we're thinking about what we've lost and how we can get it back. Notice Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 23, Paul says this, Colossians 3, verse 23, "Whatsoever ye do," that covers a lot, doesn't it? And he didn't say just on Sunday or 5 days a week. He says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Now, these two verses beg the question, who are we serving? Are we serving ourselves, or are we serving the Lord? If we're not intentionally trying to apply godliness to our lives, we're serving ourselves. And there's a lot of people in this world today that are worshiping the God that they want instead of the God that he is. If we understood the God that he is, we wouldn't be asking the question, why did God allow this or that to happen? When we're focusing upon God and understanding who he is, and what he has done and how he has obtained eternal redemption for us, I tell you, that sets us in such a better perspective. Well, we understand that he's already provided for our eternal redemption. That whatever we have to do in this life is more in context, because we understand we're serving the Lord Christ. We want to thank him for what he's done for us eternally. We want to do what's pleasing unto him because he's our Lord. By the way, he's our paymaster, isn't he? Now, you may think the company you work for is your paymaster, but God's the paymaster. God's the one that either blesses. You know, we plant and water, but it's God that gives the increase. It's true in the ministry. It's true with the church. It's true on the job. Whatever the case might be, we can plant and water, but it's God that gives the increase. And to God be the glory. And may we honor him in all that we do. So when he says, whatsoever ye do. Now, does that only apply to the big things in life? Does that only apply to those things that are big chunks of our time and that we want to make sure that we do those in a godly way? Well, certainly that applies to that. But he said, whatsoever. And the Spirit is so precise in the way it's given the word. He says, whatsoever, which means, yes, absolutely, yes, those big chunks of our time that we have to devote to other things, we want to do that in a way that would be pleasing unto God. We want to do it with the attitude as if we were doing it directly for God. And if you can't do it with that kind of attitude, maybe you need to find something else to do. All right? But do it as unto the Lord, he says, and not unto men. That attitude that we employ in going about those things makes a big difference. But not only the big chunks of our time, but the little things. Even the mundane things. Even the boring things that we have to do. Remember, do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord. It'll make all the difference in the world in how we go about it. Because God can use you in mighty ways that you don't even realize. God can bless that in such a way that you won't realize. All right? So not only the big chunks of our time do we need to redeem and do it with the right attitude and buy back what we can in the way of what we've lost, but the little things in life are important as well. Do you realize that some of your interaction with others is only for a moment? Your path may cross with someone for a split second. And if you're gruff and if you're uncaring and if you're whatever, you know, an attitude that's not showing forth a godly demeanor, why, that may be a very godly person and they may get the wrong impression altogether from you. But if you're a caring person, compassionate, merciful, kind, helpful, almost sounds like a Boy Scout, doesn't it? All right? I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's a great thing. But my point is, there are times when we have brief encounters with others. Our interaction with many people in this world is very short. If we're giving attention to those little things in life, and whatsoever we do, we're doing it heartily as unto the Lord, how much difference do you think it will make in our interaction with others? How many opportunities do you think you have to show forth the love of God and the mercy of God and the blessings that God has given you? How much of an influence do you think you could have? It's amazing when you start thinking about how so many people, our interaction with them is so very short, brief. But yet, if we can portray a love that God has given to us, if we can show a kindness and a compassion toward others that God has shown to us, then they can see God in us and they will be blessed. Isn't that so much better? Do you suppose we could buy back if all of us, if everybody in this county, if everybody in the state was applying these principles to life and the little things of life, you suppose it would make a difference? Isn't that what we're called to do anyway? To be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is different from those of this world. And he's called upon us to be more like him. So when we think about who we're serving and the opportunities we have to give a proper impression to others about who our master is and what we're wanting to accomplish in this world, I tell you, it'll help us. It'll make a world of difference when we remember, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Heartily. That carries the idea of having a joy about it. You know, serving the Lord, if we present the idea to someone that serving the Lord is a drudgery, we don't have a very good view of our master, do we? Could we have a better master than we have? No. He couldn't be any better. Our view of him can sure be better. Our understanding of what he expects of us could be better. Our awareness of the circumstances in our life and how we need to act and respond to those things. Isn't that how we started out? Being circumspect in our thinking. That is, attentive to all those circumstances that may affect actions or decisions. Wow. If we approach that with a godly attitude, a godly demeanor, all our actions and decisions, if they're filtered through that, how much of a difference can that make in this life? That's when we're showing forth godliness. That's when we're letting our light shine. That's when we're having a good influence. We're being a seasoning influence on those around us. So when we think about it, it's the little things. Maybe the short encounters that would give us the opportunity to make a much bigger difference. And so at some point in life, we learn the lesson that it's all about the journey and not the destination. See, when we're talking about eternal redemption that we have in Christ Jesus, the destination is ours. The victory has been won. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us the victory through his finished work upon Calvary. And so the best way we can say thank you as we go through this life is to redeem the time. To whatsoever we do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. That's the way we can have a great impact upon this world. Remembering, life is not so much about the destination as it is the journey. If we're always thinking about what's going to be like after a while, over the next hill, around the next curve, that adds misery to life, doesn't it? But if we can find a way, if God would bless us to find a way to enjoy the journey every day, that's a more abundant life. That's what Jesus said. I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And if we can see him in the little things in life, if we can honor him in the little things, even if those little things are boring and mundane, bless your hearts, if we can see him in it, and if we can remember that we're doing those things unto the Lord and not unto men, oh, it'll add so much quality to our life. And we'll be a better person for others to be around. We could all probably use some of that, couldn't we? All right? So, God will help us to make those improvements in our life. So I asked you the question a while ago. If somebody wanted to sum up your life, and that's most often you see that on a tombstone. Didn't want to bring in a morbid thought, but that kind of thought helps us to really focus on what we're talking about. If somebody wanted to use a verb to describe you in this life, How would they describe you? By the way, that's your homework. Think about it the next week. How would somebody describe you in just a few words? What verb would they use? Would they use words like joyful or helpful or compassionate? Or would they use words like grumpy, whatever? You know, think about it. Our Master is so wonderful. What He's given us in this life is so wonderful. The blessings that He pours out upon us each day, you know, the Psalm 68:19 says He daily loadeth us with benefits. Is that true? Maybe we don't look for it, but they still come your way anyway. When we realize what we have in the Lord, when we realize how much He's blessed us, may God help us to take even the little things in life and use them in a way that's pleasing. If you don't understand this concept I'm talking about, let me just draw out a couple of names or some names that you know, I'll give the word, the verb, and you tell me the name that goes behind it. Like doubting Thomas. You know, that would be a two-word description, and we all know that fellow, don't we? We might have been that fellow sometimes in life. Is that what somebody's going to remember about you? Always doubting? You know, you could do all kinds of things. You could take some action, apply it to a word, a name. Think about our lives. People are watching how we spend our time. People are watching to see what we're redeeming our time for, what we're getting for it, what we're trying to accomplish. People are watching. Are we redeeming our time in godly ways, with godliness, hoping for more godliness? Are we doing that? Are we being productive with our time? Are we being fruitful from our time? You know, that idea of fruitfulness. We understand that we need to be bearing fruit of the Spirit. We are presently in possession of the Spirit of God, so we ought to be bearing fruits of it, shouldn't we? But you know, sometimes fruit takes a while to come to fruition, okay, maturity, all right? And I've used the illustration a number of times. Back in the Roman Empire, when the emperor was riding around in his carriage one time, they came upon a man, an old man. He was planting fruit trees. The emperor told him to stop. And they made ridicule of that man for some time. But the man said, all my life, I've eaten fruit off of trees that other men have planted. It's time for me to plant some trees, so that somebody coming after me can someday enjoy the fruits of it. Are we doing anything today that's going to be a blessing to others after we're gone? Are we bearing fruit now? Are we making preparations so that there'll be still some fruitfulness? There'll still be some benefit. There'll still be some blessings to others. Because we redeemed the time, because we chose to make good use of our time, because we asked God for wisdom to tell us what we need to be doing so that we can reclaim some of what's been lost in our culture, so that we can retain it and have it for those that are coming after us. Are we redeeming the time? I know that's just a question. The good will come if we lay that to heart. If we pray that prayer, Lord, show me what I can do to redeem some time. Lord, show me what I can do to be a good influence, to be helpful, to be doing what would be pleasing unto you, to convey an attitude that even though I may be doing something boring and mundane, that I can do it in such a way that shows forth a godly joy in our life and others can see it. and be blessed by it. You know, your cheerfulness just might make the difference in somebody's day. Your grumpiness just might make the difference in somebody's day. Actions have consequences, don't they? How are we choosing to spend that precious commodity of time? I pray that God would bless you to give this some thought. You know, I hope this sermon doesn't end right here. I hope you'll take this to heart, that you'll pray that prayer, that you'll ask the Lord to show you some things. Start out small if you want to. That's fine. At least we're doing something. At least we're moving in the right direction. Launch out into the deep if you'd like. But you know what? If God gets the glory by what you do, you will certainly get the blessing. If God gets the glory, you'll get the blessing. Every time. Because God doesn't miss a thing. He sees it all, doesn't he? He knows it all. He even knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We can't even come close to that. But he knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He knows if we want to do these things just so we can be blessed. He knows whether we want to give him the glory. And if we're just going to do something so that we can get blessed, he's not going to get the glory for that. And guess what? You're not going to get a blessing. Because God knows. He sees. He discerns. He knows perfectly. Oh, but we have this wonderful opportunity. Whatever time we have available to us, may God help us to redeem it. That he would get the glory for whatever we undertake to do. That we would ask him for what he's already promised that he would give us if we just ask him for wisdom to know how we can do a better job of redeeming this time so that it can be to his glory, so that it can be to a blessing to others, and it just might be seed sown that someday will bring forth much fruit. Not only to the benefit of those who receive it, but it'll also be redound to the glory of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if each one of us in this building today could spend the next week where some of your time has been converted and used more godly to bring forth more glory to his name? That would be wonderful. And this church would be blessed much more because it's all about his glory. Not about us, is it? It's all about him. When the church is glorifying God, that's when they're blessed. May God help us to redeem the time because the days are evil. May God bless you is our prayer.